Welcome to the Matt Haycock Show, a podcast about business, money, and life. Matt has been making money and making mistakes for over 20 years. And in this podcast, he shares his thoughts and stories so you can improve your business, finances, and life, whilst hopefully avoiding the mistakes he and others have made along the way. Listen in and level up.
Hey guys, it's Matt Haycock, and today in this video, I'm going to talk to you about how to write the perfect business plan. Now, of all the questions I get asked by you guys, in the top two or three of all time is always, how do I write the perfect business plan? What do I need to include in it? What should I not put in it? And how do I get the people who I want to read it to read it? So I thought, perfect video to finally make for you. Now, I've been making business plans and I've been reading business plans for the last 20, 25 years. I've written them for my own businesses and I've used them to raise tens and tens of millions of pounds. And I read them on a daily basis from entrepreneurs, business owners who want me to invest in their businesses, either new start businesses or established businesses. So I know the kind of framework that helps you get the money that you want. And for any of you out there who want to submit your business plans to me, it's very important you listen to this video because I make very quick snap decisions on if I like a plan and how much of it I'm actually going to read. So it's very important that you actually put in there the things that you know I want to see, that you write it in a format that I want to see it in. Now, a lot of this video is going to be personal to me in terms of what I like and what I think. But I think with 20 plus years experience in this space, the kind of things I talk about are pretty universal. So pay attention, go back and watch the video if you need to at the end, make notes. I've tried to make this as simple as possible. We've got bullet points of the sections you should include. I've got some questions that you'll probably be asking yourself or other people will be asking you. So we'll give answers to those. And I've got some keys and some assumptions and some summaries at the end. So you're definitely going to find it useful, and this will definitely be what you need to go raise the money that you're looking for. So one question people often ask is, why do I even need a business plan? You know, you may be in business already, you may be setting up on your own and not particularly need any money right now from external investors, or maybe think you don't need any external money. So you think, why do I need to waste the time creating a business plan? But even if you're not looking to raise money, even if you're not looking to communicate with external people, creating a business plan, creating a framework for what you're looking to achieve is very, very important. I mean, business plans serve multiple purposes. Obviously, the big one, which is probably the reason that the vast majority of you are watching this video right now, is because you're looking for external money, or you're looking for some kind of investment or partnership with external stakeholders. You need to present your case to investors. You need to present your case to bankers or to potential customers or to potential suppliers and partners. And putting your thoughts down in words and, you know, creating that professional framework, that document, you know, gives you that air of credibility and can very often make the difference between someone wanting to deal with you and not wanting to deal with you. But even if you don't need to create a plan for external people, I think it's still very important to do it for yourself, to kind of get your thoughts down on paper, to give yourself something to hold you accountable. And also, when you put thoughts down into words, it allows you to see if there's holes in your plan. You know, maybe there's things that you haven't thought of initially. You know, when ideas and thoughts are just churning around in your head, you don't think of everything. But when you try and document that in writing, you know, it will start to pull together some of the areas that you may not have given sufficient thought to. And you can then sit down and plug the gaps, fix the problems that you may not have originally knew that you had. So who is a business plan actually for? Now, business plans are going to be read by many different people, depending on your business, depending on your needs and who you're going to give it to. An obvious answer is investors or funders. You know, investors, banks, finance companies, they always want to have a business plan before they'll start to have further conversations with you. So that's an obvious one. But quite often, if you're employing, you know, very high level members of staff, but if you're looking to work with key partners, if you're looking to work with, you know, very important customers or suppliers, these kind of people are going to want to see your business plan too. And it's also very important at this stage to probably think who the audience that are going to be reading this plan are going to be for you. Because when you know who your audience are, you can tailor your plan accordingly for them. And it's very important to write the document in a manner that is going to be best read by the people that you want to see it. You know, maybe if you're talking to a finance company, you're going to be getting into a lot more of the granular financial detail. But maybe if you're talking to your potential customers, or maybe if you're talking to potential high-level recruits, maybe they're less interested in the actual granular detail of the numbers, but they want to know about your vision and your plan and your background and what your prospects for growth are. So before you write the plan, think very carefully who you are using as your target audience. And maybe that is more than one person. So maybe you need two versions of the plan. Maybe you need even more than two versions, but working out from the outset, because if you communicate with the people in the wrong format, you are not going to get the results that you want at the end. It's very much like speaking to a Spanish person in French. It's not going to get you very far. So before you start writing your plan, you need to decide clearly what is the purpose of it. What are you looking to achieve? So for example, are you looking to put your plan in front of investors to get investors to part with their cash? Are you looking to work with a key supplier who you need as an integral part of your business, and you're looking to get them to want to do business and to supply you? Are you looking to work with key members of staff, and you're looking to very clearly set out your vision and get them to want to join you on your journey? Decide this before you start, because the way you write your plan is going to be crucial to get this desired outcome. So when I write my business plans, I like to break them down into seven key sections. And when I read business plans, for me, I'd always like to read them in these seven key sections too. So I think if you follow the steps I'm going to lay out for you now, you're going to have a great framework to get the results that you want. Now, section number one is your executive summary. This is the part of your plan where you're going to get people's attention and then hopefully hold it. It's also what you may have heard called an elevator pitch. Now, I can tell you that 90% of the decisions I make when reading other people's business plans hinge on a great executive summary. If I don't like and don't understand what is written in that first page of the document, it's going straight in the bin and I'm not going to read any further. Now, you may think that sounds harsh, but as you can imagine, professional investors will receive dozens upon dozens of business plans on a weekly, if not daily, basis. So if you can't hit them hard in those opening paragraphs about how great your business is in a clear and concise manner, I promise you, they are not going to have the time to read any further. Now, section number two is about your customers. Who are they? Are you already dealing with them? Are you planning on dealing with them? Are you going to be dealing business to business or business to consumer? What is the customer demographic, or what is the customer firmographic, which is the corporate version of a demographic? These are just some of the questions that you need to answer. Now, all of you watching or listening to this are going to have your own unique customer characteristics, but it's absolutely essential that you know and understand what they are and you can convey those to your reader. Also think about things like, what is the buying cycle of your customer going to be? How long does it take for them to make a purchase? Are they going to buy as a one-off, or are you looking to create repeat customers who might be buying on an annual or monthly or even more regular basis? Understand all this and convey this information in a clear, concise manner in section two of your business plan. Now, in section number three of your business plan, I like to understand about your growth plans. Now, don't forget that most people watching this and most people writing business plans are writing them with some kind of investor or funder in mind. And all investors are going to need to see growth. How is your business going to get bigger and better and make more money? Are you going to enter new markets? Are you going to bring new products? Are you going to increase prices? Are you going to merge with other companies? Are you going to buy other companies? Think about all of these things and how they apply to you, and get these down in section number three of the plan. Now, in section number four, I like to talk about competition. Now, it's absolutely imperative that you understand who your competition, who your competitors are. Any investor or any third party reading this plan needs to know that you have thought this out and that you understand what the risks are to your business, both now and in the future. Now, competition can come in many different ways. It could be direct competitors, it could be indirect competitors, you know, businesses which just overlap into your market. We could be looking at competition that exists right now, or we could be looking at the competition that may come in the future when other companies out there see you doing well and want to take a piece of your pie. So what is your protection against that competition? Do you have a USP, you know, a unique selling point? Do you have hard or high barriers to entry that are going to make it very difficult for other people to come and enter into your market? That may be cost. You know, maybe it's capital intensive in your business. Maybe it's because you've got some proprietary technology, some trademarks, some patents, which are going to make it hard or impossible for other people to actually enter. At the beginning of this video, we talked about the fact that even though you may not be needing to look for external investment, or you might not be needing to present a plan to third parties at this point, it's very good to put it down for yourself so you can understand if there's any holes or flaws in your business. And when looking at competition, that this is a fantastic example of actually sitting down and spending the time to think, what can you do to protect your business against advances from people who may come and try and take a piece of it in the future? And it's also a fantastic time to think about your USP, your unique selling proposition, or your unique selling point. Because what is it that's going to make people want to come to you? And as well as thinking about how you're going to protect your business, now is a great time to think about your USP, your unique selling proposition, or your unique selling point. You know, what is going to make people want to do business with you ahead of others? And hopefully your answer isn't price. If it is, I want to refer you to some of my other videos where I talk about the danger of selling purely on price. You want to find other reasons that customers are going to come to you, other ways to make you unique, because selling on price is a very dangerous game, which leads to a business built up on slim margins. And businesses built on slim margins don't have the capital to invest in acquisition, in marketing, in sales, in resources, in personnel, and all the other things that are key to building a successful company. So if you're actually now just writing your plan, and you've started to see some of these things as holes, now is the time to take a pause and maybe make some tweaks to your business model that you hadn't initially thought was necessary. Now, section number 5 is all about sales and marketing plans. Now, sales and marketing are the absolute lifeblood of your business. How are you going to create prospects, and how are you going to take those prospects and turn them into customers and turn those customers into cash in the bank? And now is not the time to be saying that you're looking to outsource marketing to a local agency you found on the internet, or that you've got a couple of mates who are going to be acting as part-time salespeople. You need a very clear and focused plan. Now is also the time to understand and communicate your sales and marketing KPIs, your key performance indicators. Figures like cost per lead, CPL, you know, what does it cost you to create a lead that your sales team can try and sell to? Ultimate customer CPA, cost per acquisition of that customer. Very important one is LTV, lifetime value of customer. Now, in today's particularly competitive marketing world, understanding your LTV is imperative to knowing whether or not you will have a long-term profitable business model. Because very often, the initial sale from a customer isn't actually enough to make money from the cost of creating that customer in the first place. So it's very important that there is therefore going to be future sales to that same customer. Maybe that's the same product, or maybe it's cross-selling other opportunities. But unless you understand it and put it down now, you're not going to know, and the people reading your plan and your investors are certainly not going to know. Section number 6 is all about personnel. Key personnel within your business and key advisors outside of the business, such as lawyers and accountants and other professional advisors. Having the right team is going to be absolutely fundamental to growing a successful business. And as an investor or as an interested external stakeholder, we need to know who those key members of staff are. Are they with you now? Are they people that you're looking to recruit in the future? Where do they come from? How are you going to recruit them? And how are you going to retain them within the business? We also need to understand how vulnerable your business will be should some of these key members of staff be lost in the future. And what are you going to do to protect against that downside? Now, like I've said in other sections, you're all going to have your own individual thoughts and unique answers to this part of the plan. But as an overall section, it's very important to include it. So sit down and really think about the answers that you need to give. Now, section 7, the final section in the framework for a business plan that I like to use, is all about the financials of your business, the financial model and what the assumptions are behind that. Now is the time that if you do not know how to do this perfectly, you must draft in the expertise of a professional advisor. It doesn't matter how good all the other sections of your business plan are, when it comes down to the numbers, if these fall short, if these don't make sense, if they contradict some of the other things you've said in your business plan, no matter how good anything you've said is up to this point, the plan is once again going in the bin. You're all going to have your own variations of financial model that needs building. But for me, the key things are that you must include absolutely everything here. Now, you're going to present your figures in slightly different ways, but it's important to get all the headings, all the categories, all the subcategories in, all the costs, and all the income streams that are pertinent to your business. Now, personally, when I do my projections, I like to project in great detail for the first 3, 6, 9, 12 months. And then after 12 months, I lose interest because in today's fast-moving world, it's getting harder and harder to predict where your finances are going to be in the future. And for me, 12 months is the limit of what you can project with clarity and certainty. So for the first 12 months of a business plan, I like to see very granular detail built on solid assumptions because this should be much, much more predictable for you. But then from month 12 onwards, we start to get into fortune teller type territory. And I don't want to see it in as much granular detail, but I do need to see that you've thought about it. Now, at the beginning of this video, we talked about the fact that it was important to create your plan based on the audience who were going to be receiving it, presenting the information in a format that was going to be of interest and of value to them. So even though I personally don't want to be seeing detailed figures after month 12, maybe some of the financial institutions that you may be presenting this to do. So always check that before you start writing things that may be irrelevant to the people who want to read it. Two things that I think are key when I'm both writing a plan or receiving one from someone who's potentially looking for investment is I want to see very detailed assumptions about why you've put the numbers. It's all very well having great turnover, low costs, and a high profit margin that shows we're making loads of money from month one. But I want to know, what are the assumptions on a very granular basis that you've used to come up with that financial information? I also think it's very important to flex your financial model, to do what some people will call a stress test. It's all very well presenting figures that look great, that are making loads of money in an ideal world, but what if the circumstances change? What if turnover dips? What if costs go up? What does your model look like? How much pain can it sustain? So I personally like to see three models. One which is based on the assumptions that you think are realistic. One which is based on actually beating your expectations. But one which probably most importantly is based on what happens if the world doesn't start to look so pretty. Now within this financial plan section, if you've written this business plan for the purposes of gaining investment, it's also really important to include some other key bits of information. Number one, how much are you actually looking to raise from investors? Number two, of the money you raise from the investors, what is that use of funds? How are you going to spend it? Where is it going to go? Number three, is this the only time that you're going to be going to investors to ask them to invest money? Or are there going to be guaranteed times in the future where further investment is needed? And number four, crucially, how and when is an investor going to get their return? And what's it going to look like? Are they going to receive a return by dividends that the business is going to be paying? Or is there going to need to be a capital event in the future, some liquidity point where the business is sold or the business buys back some of its shares? Don't forget, the only reason an investor is investing in a business is to make money. So you have to spell out to them exactly how that's going to happen. Otherwise, they're going to switch off very quickly. So there you have my 7-point framework on how to write a business plan, which can be applied to any style of business in any sector. Now I just want to go through a few general points, a few key points of how to make sure the plan is on point and will get the results that you want. Now top of the list for me is simplicity and size. I don't want to see a really, really, really long business plan that's going to take me hours to read. And I also don't want it to include loads of terminology which I don't understand or anyone outside of your business isn't going to understand either. So if it is a very scientific business, if it's something that involves, you know, proprietary technology or something weird and wonderful, you know, that you've invented or that's only known to a very small group of people, change your lingo when writing the business plan and make sure that, you know, that a toddler, that a non-business person, that somebody who's not within your sector can understand. But whilst I've given you a framework for all the things that you need to include in the business plan, you need to present it in a format that works for you and your business. Now, I personally like bullet points, short paragraphs, one or two sentences. Now, that may not work for you. That may not work for some of the sections and the products that you guys are selling. So make sure that you use my framework as the overall structure. But when you write the individual sections and the more granular pieces of information, present them in a format that works for you. Now, I personally see a business plan as a stepping stone to a personal meeting. Now, this is another reason why I don't want to see loads and loads of information that's going to take me hours and hours to read. And it's another reason why the executive summary is so important in your plan. Because I've had my attention grabbed or lost when I've read the executive summary. That's what's kept me going through the next sections, and that's what makes me pick up the phone or type an email to the person who's written this business plan and say, yes, I like what I've read, now's the time to get on the telephone or to get face to face, and you can tell me in much more detail some of the sections you've written, and I can ask you the questions that I've been thinking while I've been reading your plan. So don't bore the pants off someone when you're writing this. And don't think of every conceivable question that someone's going to ask you and try and give an answer to it. Whilst it's important to think of those questions for yourself and to know the answers for them, there's a time and a place. And this business plan is not the time to put down every single piece of information. Work at a high level, show that you've got a business that warrants further investigation and that hopefully warrants investment, and use this plan as a chance to get in front of the people that you want to talk to. So there you have it, my 7-point framework on how to write the perfect business plan, as well as answering some of the questions like, why do you even need a business plan and who are you writing it for? So hopefully you've got all the information you need there to go away and write the business plan to get the results that you want. Now, if there's still further information you need, please go to www.matt-haycox.com. That's MATT-HAYCOX.com. And on there, you'll find loads of other information and loads of downloadable resources to help you write the perfect business plan and fix other areas of your business that you may be struggling with. So I hope you liked the video. If you did, press like. And also, please subscribe to my channel, where you'll find loads of other great videos like this with information that you need to know about your business and lots of interviews with inspirational business people and other characters who can improve your business and improve your life. I'll see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Matt Haycox Show. For more Matt, check out his YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Matt Haycox. Or go stalk him on Instagram and Twitter, the Matt Haycox. And we'll see you soon.